And now, Brazilian-born singer Mônica Vasconcelos tells the story of the rise and fall of a music that captivated Brazil and then the world. The secret history of Bossa Nova.
Ipanema Beach, Rio de Janeiro. The sea rolls in, boats on the horizon, the sun is shining. The Rio seafront is buzzing. It was here, on the crest of a wave of national optimism, that Bossa Nova was created. An ode to a homeland of amor, mar e flor, love, sea, and a flower. From its rise in the late 1950s, Bossa Nova became the modern music of Brazil. And Ipanema Beach here is the setting for its most famous song. Garota de Ipanema, the girl from Ipanema, written by two key figures of the Bossa Nova movement, Antônio Carlos Jobim and Vinícius de Moraes. It's one of the most recorded songs in music history. Many Bossa Nova tunes are now standards. But if you think you know Bossa Nova, please think again. Its themes are simple: love, the sea, the sky. But Bossa is a complex music. Its history tied to political revolution and driven by a very modern aesthetic. It was Brazil shaking off its colonial past, looking up, looking out at the world.
It wouldn't have emerged so strongly as it did if we were not living what we were living, which was a full democracy, a feeling of hope, a feeling of expectations for a future that would come really soon, or so we thought.
Por amor andeja, tanto chão e mar, Senhor.
It's about representing a country at a certain time in the development of that country. And I think with Brazil, particularly during the late 50s and 60s, it was a country that was on the up. It was a country that was finding itself. It was a golden time for that country.
Bossa Nova is not only rhythm. Bossa Nova, it's also and mainly feeling, sentiments. We call it in Portuguese estesia. A feeling for beauty.
I'm a singer, and I began singing Bossa Nova when I was 16 in a little bar in the neighborhood of Moema in São Paulo. Thinking back, I remember how serious the band leader was about Bossa Nova. Like a devotion. The other musicians too. The audience, the same. Disposable music, this was not. Singing Bossa Nova is a bit like being on the crest of a wave. The harmony and dissonance is shifting under you. Joyce Moreno, better known as just Joyce, is a singer and songwriter who's worked and recorded with Jobim and many others.
So I'm sitting at a very cool address in Rio and talking to Joyce, just mentioning perhaps one of the founding fathers of Bossa Nova, João Gilberto. He said once that his music wasn't about tristeza or sadness. It was about tristezinha, a wee sadness, or perhaps a touch of sadness.
I think it's very peaceful music. I mean, it can be sad and it can be happy. It's a happy sadness. Can be nostalgic, but also can be open to the future. Never tragic, always light. Even sadness can be light. But also, it's very musical music, you know. It's music for musicians, too. So I think that the secret of Bossa Nova is that it sounds simple, but it's extremely complex.
Bossa Nova means new wave or new style, although translation into English is difficult. A new sensibility, perhaps, a new movement. At its beginning were three artists: the composer and songwriter Antônio Carlos Jobim, the lyricist-poet Vinícius de Moraes, and the singer and guitarist João Gilberto. Gilberto's 1958 single Chega de Saudade, on which they all collaborated, is thought to be the first true bossa nova record.
Vá minha tristeza e diz a ela que sem ela não pode ser.
David Tris is a translator and Camões professor of Portuguese at King's College, London.
Bossa nova doesn't come out of nowhere, and there are lots of precedents. There are lots of things happening in the air and the musical atmosphere in the 1950s. But something very special seems to happen around about
1957-58.
You get this extraordinary meeting of a pianist, songwriter, arranger who's steeped in Western art music, classical music, as well as popular music, Tom Jobim, an amazing artist, creator figure. You've got this fantastic poet lyricist, who's already established as a poet, Vinícius de Moraes. And you've got this extraordinary instrumentalist and vocalist, João Gilberto, who invents a new way of playing on the guitar and a new way of singing. Those three people encapsulate the heart and soul of this movement.
Isto é bossa nova, isto é muito natural, porque você não sabe.
Bossa had different musical influences. Rhythmically, it drew from the deep traditions of samba. Harmonically, it was influenced by classical music. The Brazilian composer Villa-Lobos, as well as European Impressionist composers like Claude Debussy and Maurice Ravel, whose harmony Jobim, de Moraes and other bossa writers studied closely. Take any samba. The melody may be affecting and beautiful, but put through the bossa nova filter, those chords, that harmonic treatment, it takes me somewhere else.
What I would like to try now is to ask you to demonstrate a little bit on your right hand a bossa groove in comparison to a samba groove so we can hear the difference.
I'll try.
Tell me what you are going to sing.
So this is a song called Favela. It was a big hit sung by Silvio Caldas.
It's a traditional samba?
Very traditional, from the 40s, I would say.
Okay.
And it would go like this. Favela. So that's a very traditional way.
Let's hear it as a bossa. So the harmony changes?
Completely. Favela, favela, favela que trago no meu coração. Ao recordar com saudade a minha felicidade, favela. Doing it. It's just that, you know, just a different way of looking at the song.
The colors change completely and your singing becomes a little more reserved?
Yeah, could be. Yes, perhaps.
So the melodies stay like it were the samba, beautiful, but harmony start to be richer.
Marcos Valle is a singer, songwriter and producer who was part of the original bossa nova scene.
The samba style would be now the same, then in bossa. You see, the other is more simple. Now your other notes. You have ou dó, a G major, 5, bossa. You know, when bossa nova came, the songwriters, the artists, were more medium class, so they had the possibility of studying music, even classic music, as I did, as Jobim did. The harmony became more sophisticated, and the rhythm became more sensual. The samba style would be. It's a different, and the harmony would be more simple. Now it was a different notes, like this. Hey Maria, Papa said, you better go to bed. Maria, Mama said, you better go to bed. And little sister said, you better go to bed. The older brother said,
bossa isn't just a rhythm, it's a harmonic palette. By the early 60s, in Rio, it was also a scene. Musicians and songwriters exchanged ideas, spent hours with the guitar and around the piano. They drank, composed. Verdadeiros boêmios, true bohemians. Elmir Deodato is a composer and arranger, and was part of the early bossa scene in Rio.
Bossa Nova was based on meetings on people's homes. Usually those homes are gigantic apartments right on the ocean, on the view for the ocean. The apartment is big enough, like one per floor, that kind of stuff. And many people that had a lot of money had grand pianos in their home. We all got together, but there was a hierarchy in seeing who would show their songs first. One of the fathers of, or the starters, or the first ones involved in bossa nova was obviously Antonio Carlos Jobim.
He was a very warm and affectionate man. I have to say that, because he was very nice. He was extremely kind. We would go to his place, and he was totally accessible, and he would play the piano, and we would sit around the piano and listen to him.
As we had those meetings, we wanted to impress each other. So if I do a new song, I knew that Jobim was going to listen to my song in that meeting, Menescal, Carlinhos Lira. So you have to be very good, because you don't want to disappoint each one. So we knew that we are doing something new, something quality.
The bossa people loved Rio. The beauty of the landscape inspired them. Ipanema Beach, the white sands, the mountains, they loved beauty, and they sang about it.
Um cantinho, um violão, este amor, uma canção, pra fazer feliz a quem se ama.
Bossa Nova became the music of choice for a smart, young, urban middle class who'd flooded into the cities as the Brazilian economy boomed. If bossa nova was the soundtrack to a new and modern Brazil, then Brasília was going to be its centerpiece. Alfredo Saad Filho is professor of political economy at SOAS in London.
For a long time, there had been this aspiration to move the capital of Brazil towards the interior of the country. There was a competition, and a number of architects came up with different designs for the construction of the city. And two architects, Lucio Costa and Oscar Niemeyer, came up with the design that eventually won this competition.
Two of Bossa's architects, Jobim and de Moraes, were commissioned by the president to write a work in honor of the city's construction.
A bandeira que vai tremular nos céus de Brasília simbolizará país que se tornou maior.
Sinfonia da Alvorada was released with Niemeyer's drawings on the cover. O trabalho e a construção, the work and the building.
They built this astonishing design of a city, and it was built very, very quickly. When jet aeroplanes were coming on stream around the world, they built this city in the shape of an aeroplane that took inspiration from the work of Le Corbusier, that took inspiration from urban innovation that was taking place in the Soviet Union. Niemeyer was always a member of the Brazilian Communist Party. But again, projecting this image of a country that is forward-looking, with a distribution of space that is rational, in inverted commas, in the modernist sense.
É, vou contar o que há, é tempo de dizer quem sou. Sim, já cansei de lutar, agora quero descansar.
Brazilian Portuguese is naturally percussive, and the lyrics are written that way. Bossa Nova grooves with the words, with the consonants. It's hard to translate that. For example, Garota de Ipanema, the girl from Ipanema. In Portuguese, olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça. Ela menina que vem e que passa. It's grooving. And then in English, it falls on a different beat. Tall and tan and young and lovely. So really, it doesn't groove.
Coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça. Ela, menina que vem e que passa. Num doce balanço, caminho do mar. Moça do corpo.
Garota de Ipanema, the girl from Ipanema, was a huge hit, internationalizing the bossa sound, for better or worse.
My heart said go.
But just as Bossa Nova hit big around the world, the scene was completely shaken at home.
Bossa Nova, my heart said what?
In 1964, there is a military coup, the military move against a left-wing reformist president who was looking especially into land reform. And land reform in Brazil, even today, is a very complicated social, political and economic issue. At that time, it was just a no-go area. So the military take over, backed up very clearly by the United States.
Airwaves were flooded with American music. The US did not want another revolution like Castro's in Cuba. Cultural good relations were encouraged.
There was an Americanization of Brazilian culture. There was also an Americanization of Brazilian music. This was a very strong goal pursued by the military regime. But it is a kind of a soft military dictatorship with relatively light levels of repression in the early years. So it was a scene culturally and in terms of music and the art, it was a scene where it was still possible to create and to produce.
Beco das Garrafas, Bottle Lane, off Rua do Vivier, very near Avenida Copacabana. All I can see here is a record store called Bossa Nova e Companhia. Bossa Nova and Co. But in the early 1960s, this dead-end street in Copacabana was alive with the beat of Bossa Nova. Small venues, intimate performances, blending bossa, samba and jazz. It's a quiet street now, but it's easy to imagine it jumping.
This hard bossa sound was certainly no compromise. It wasn't light and flowery Astral Gilberto just barely breathing into the microphone stuff. It was tough, hard, authentic, original trio dance music.
DJ Charles Peterson.
Groups such as Milton Banana Trio or the Tambor Trio, even Sergio Mendes, you know, he started off with a trio, and another group was the Bossa Tres. They were like the Brazilian version of the tight rhythm sections, and they were usually the accompaniments for the big singers. But when these trios went off on their own in the bars and cafes and the jazz clubs of Rio, it was hard. That was the kind of stuff that really got the DJs going. I think that was really the music which turns a lot of heads around in Europe. So they were the records that we were going out. We were finding dealers who were basically bringing those records in and selling them at ridiculous prices to us, because those records were not available in Europe. They were only available, they were very small releases at that time.
The years following the coup saw bossa blend with new forms, crossover styles, from piano trios and quartets to vocal groups and full orchestras. While musical boundaries relaxed, the regime tightened its grip. By 1968, it was moving into open repression. Congress was shut down. There was heavy censorship. Bossa Nova, its preoccupation with sol, mar, flor, sun, sea, and the flower, began to look completely out of touch with these much darker times.
There's a sense that culture and art and music included have got to address a different agenda, that it's no good any longer just to be singing of tranquil life on the beach, the mountains of Rio. There's a sense that bossa nova has been too inward-looking, that it's been too complacent, and that it isn't responsible, that it isn't addressing the urgent issues of the day. A different kind of musical language is needed now.
Tropicália wasn't a new music. It was a bagunça, an exuberant, anarchic, politicized mashup of styles, driven by younger, new wave musicians like Gilberto Gil, Caetano Veloso, and Tom Zé. O rei da brincadeira. Some, like Gil, were sent to prison for crossing the regime. Many musicians were exiled. Gil and Caetano came to London. Bossa Nova had been the music of their youth. The Tropicalistas celebrated it. And they brought about its downfall.
When Tropicalistas arrived, they really loved and respected bossa nova, but in a very Freudian way, they had to kill the fathers, you know? So they were trying to do something completely different from that. In 1968, for example, I've seen Antônio Carlos Jobim being booed by a multitude in a song festival because the audience wanted to hear something like, let's get a gun in our hands and expel the military from the country. And so people wanted that. The youth, the young students, they wanted that instead of Jobim. And that was kind of sad, you know. We could see that people were really making a big mistake, leaving behind this wonderful tradition of music and going for something that could be perhaps more direct. But actually, it wouldn't resolve the problem. Actually, it would make it even worse, because a lot of people were forced to flee the country and a lot of composers had to go to other countries to stay there and be protected from prison and torture. So that was a very hard time.
Bossa Nova was seen as being totally apolitical. It's certainly not protest music by the standards of the 1960s, but some bossa nova writers used their music to send a message.
Marcos, you have a song which I used to sing and play on the guitar as a kid.
Oh, yeah?
Viola in Guarada. That is a political song.
It is a political song, because when I started, it was in 63, the emotions that we had, it was of a lovely Brazil, and the music of bossa nova would reflect exactly this feeling. When the military government, the coup, né, I said, what is going to happen now? What are we going to do? So then we start to change the lyrics, not the music. The melody is the same, but the lyrics, Viola Arada, came in 68.
And that song talks about...
A mão que toca violão, se for preciso... Faz a guerra.
Let's translate that. Viola in Guarada.
The hand.
The hand that plays the guitar, if needed, will make war. The voice that sings a song, a voz que canta uma canção,
Se for necessário, se for preciso, canto um hino.
If needed, um hino we'll, de guerra, we'll né? sing like a war song. We'll sing a war song. Sing for me again.
Let's sing together.
A mão que toca o violão, se for preciso, faz a guerra.
Mata o mundo.
After Tropicália, Bossa Nova went into retreat. Its popularity has ebbed and flowed over the years. But way more than a fad. Bossa Nova is part of the architecture of Brazilian music now. It's musical unconscious.
I think Bossa Nova is Brazil as it should have been. My ideal country, the country that I dream of, and the country that I have in my mind. So I think that maybe, just maybe, Brazil could have been a lovely Bossa Nova country, you know, that would teach the world something about peace, love, and understanding.
The Secret History of Bossa Nova was presented by Monica Vasconcelos and produced by Simon Hollis. It was a Brooke Lapping production for BBC World Service.